The session which you are taking part in is entitled The Art of Giving Spiritual Direction. When people have fallen out of their original relationship with Krishna, when they are not in Krishna consciousness, problems will appear. It is as if a branch with a flower has broken from a tree. At that time, the branch will become lifeless and the flower wilt. Now, spiritual direction is meant to bring us back on the tree. It is not necessarily spiritual direction is not is no substitute for psychological advice or psychotherapy. Spiritual direction is meant to help people practice and cultivate God consciousness. It is never identical with psychotherapy, which addresses the psychological makeup of people, which may not have anything to do with God. I would like to refer you to my example. Spiritual direction is like bringing the tree, which the branch which has broken from the tree, back to the tree. It is not directly restoring the flower. The flower which is on the branch and which has wilted away because the branch has broken away from the tree represents in this example the mind. Sometimes the mind is so disturbed of a person who is not in Krishna consciousness that there may be psychotherapeutic skills required to bring. What we can do as spiritual directors, however, is to bring the branch back on the tree and hope that now also the flower will blossom. Or in other words, we can hope to bring the soul back to Krishna and hope that the mind will be all right if it is not too damaged. I would like to ask today a question. In spiritual direction, the spiritual director is directing someone to Krishna and to bring his relationship to Krishna to full bloom. Now, a spiritual director needs to take a hard look, therefore, on his current relationship with Krishna, because after all, he has to direct a person into the relationship with him. Let me ask you a question. Maybe we shall team up in groups of two for this question. Maybe you'll find yourself, not maybe, please find a neighbor now. I will ask you a heavy question to discuss. We will go very fast on this one, so you have to be fast. Moksha Rupi, you have Ananta Vasudev. Dobro. Sundar Nitai, have you found your neighbor? Yeah? Who has not yet found a neighbor? Subhadra, can come on, someone come to Subhadra? Good. Subhadra, you will get a wonderful neighbor. So listen now to the difficult question which I will ask. Is your relationship with Krishna a personal one? Can you contact and communicate with Krishna? Or is your relationship with Krishna based more on abstract theoretical concepts which you have heard in well-intentioned lectures. Is God for you just some theoretical holy other to whom you give intellectual credence that he is there because it is what you are supposed to do? Or are you conscious of Krishna, and are you aware of Krishna's presence in your daily life? I'm asking you, do you miss the relationship to Krishna when it is absent? Or do you think, no problem, that's what happens to most of us? Is your relationship based on trust, or is it more based on fear? Are you maybe afraid of Krishna because you are not up to the standard at the moment? Or is your Krishna... he is called by Krishna. Or is your Krishna a god of mercy with whom you like to live and move? Please tell your neighbor what is your present status of your own relationship to Krishna. Because remember, very soon I will tell you the five principles of spiritual direction. So you will have to know, where will you guide your people to? What concept of Krishna will you bring to them? It is very important. If the leader doesn't know where he leads a person, then both get lost. So let us see where you are at the moment. Be as honest as possible and extremely concise and brief. Start now. Mandi Tangi. So I realize that some of you would like to discuss this point longer. Please do this outside in the pauses. My point is, before you can act as a mentor or as a spiritual director, you must be conscious of Krishna to some degree, and you must live a life that reflects this type of consciousness. Otherwise, people will not seek assistance from you. Or they may come for some time, but they will not stay, because you're not actively, vibrantly living that what they wish to learn from you. So therefore, it is very important to think of your relationship with Krishna, and if there is room for improvement, which I guess there is from seeing you interacting, then I would like to encourage you to take this little question which I've asked you as an impetus to go a little bit deeper into active and not theoretical relationship with Krishna. Now, as a spiritual director, you must have at least three qualifications which you should acquire so that you can actively lead people to in their Krishna conscious practice. The first quality is you must have trustworthiness. The second, you must have accessibility. And the third is you must have a willingness to help. Let us talk first on trustworthiness. No one will listen to someone he or she does not trust. trust, this very important bond in human relationship, is established in personal exchanges which you have with people, and it is especially established at that time when you fulfill promises and assurances which you give. At that time a person thinks he is trustworthy because he is predictable. As a spiritual director, you must know that your own trustworthiness is based on a couple of things. One is that you must, as we say, do your homework, your spiritual practices. Your spiritual practices will shine through your words. Your spiritual practices will shine through your external appearances. Your spiritual practices will shine like light shines through a window, through your smile. If your spiritual practice is disturbed, there is not this light coming through your words and through your personality. And trust is difficult. People will think, yeah, he is all right, but there's something which just makes me not trusting this person. As a trustworthiness is also created when they see that you are connected with trustworthy sources, in other words, with Holy Scripture and with your own spiritual authority, like your spiritual master. Maybe you have noticed when when spiritual persons speak, they always refer to Guru and Shastra and Sadhu. Even Prabhupada or even Narad, the four Kumaras, will substantiate their statements by quotations from the scripture. Or they will say, my Guru taught me, and so on. Because then only trust is created when someone sees you are connected with higher sources, with higher intelligence, with higher authority. That connection they must feel so that they can place their trust in you, because they will have to place trust. Why? Because you will have to lead them into an area which is unknown for them. You have to guide them in your spiritual guiding session and teach them new things. So, as a spiritual director, in summary, I wish to say, as a spiritual director, you must first create trust. In other words, a safe environment that encourages others. I can now follow this person on this adventurous journey to the Supreme Lord. I would say this safe environment, which is created through trust, is similar to the, now comes a difficult English word, to the holding context, which is created by mothers for their children, where the children trust their mothers when this context is there. Absolutely. They know it's safe to follow mother. Have you ever seen mothers? They go anywhere. They go on an airplane with their children. Their children come along. They don't ask, mother, show me the ticket if you have the right ticket, or where are we going? They just follow lovingly and trustingly. Have you noticed? Or you say, let's go there. There is no question. Where are you bringing me, mother? Maybe you will bring me to the hellish planets? No. The child lives in this It's called a holding context. Like the mother holds the child, and the child is absolutely safe in, even in the midst of a monsoon storm. If the mother is there, the child feels this trusting context. So if as a spiritual director, you can create this trusting or holding context, that is very good. Then they will very easily be able to follow you. The second is accessibility. With this, we mean that the spiritual director should be accessible. The person who seeks his or her help must feel, my voice is heard with interest. He wants to hear what I will present. He cares. And I can reach him. He's there for me. There is no doubt that my spiritual mentor will always take interest in what I present. If that doubt is there, that he really doesn't care. It's a little bit like the first point, but I want to here say you must be accessible. In the physical sense, it must be possible for the mentor to reach you, but much more in the personal and spiritual way. My dear devotees, you can never force, manipulate, or trick anyone into this sacred space which is created in mentorship. For this, there must be trustworthiness and accessibility, and you must show it consistently. That's very, very important. I consider these two things, trustworthiness and accessibility, as important as this little harbor before us. In this harbor, all the ships are safe. There are some wave breakers before, so that even when there is a storm and even if there is a small tsunami wave outside in the Adria, it does not affect the ships. So you must learn to create safe harbors in your relationships where people can trust you and where they can at any time go and know you will be there. You are accessible to them. This is very important. And the next point is maybe kind of obvious, but still I want to make it. The third point is you must have willingness to help. And with this I mean spiritual directors are meant to direct. It often happens on the spiritual path that practitioners go slightly off the path. Now, this is not a question of are they good or are they bad because they go off. This is not the issue. The issue is how to help someone who needs to come back to the spiritual path. What to do when someone gets off? People expect from you guidance and they secretly crave for correction. I don't believe in the modern thought that no one should tell somebody something, because their egos are so fragile and so on. No, spiritual. If you want to be a spiritual director, you must give guidance and you must give corrections. And this is only possible if you have created a safe harbor with your mentee, the person who looks for guidance. A safe harbor built on trustworthiness, that you are trustworthy because of your practices and your own higher connection, and a safe harbor because they feel you are accessible. Have you ever talked to a higher person who is a little higher, and he goes, when you talk to him, something else you want to... I once went with a sincere health problem to the most expensive clinic in Berlin. It's called the Caritas. Oh, Caritas, that's like a whole village, hospital village. And I went to the liver expert. I won't tell you. I went to another expert, but I don't want to be so private. I went to a liver expert, huh? And I said, I have this problem, and I'm almost dying. And he went like, and I could see, oh, I really want to go home. I really don't want to spend time with this other patient. I'm already so burnt out, and I have to again hear his story. So he always went like this. Finally, I said, I see you have no time for me and no interest. Please go home and do the things you want to do. I'm not interested. You know, it's too important. My liver is too important for my life. Then so. So often a spiritual mentor cannot give the impression that he has no time and is not accessible. And he must be... and then he must have willingness to help. It's very important. Now I would like to talk about one other quality that is something which you might have to learn. We can call it attending skills, you should be able to maintain eye contact with the person who looks for help. Don't look always somewhere else, you know. And you should take on the appropriate physical position, you know. I have once tried to seek advice from an older devotee who went into the lying position in his bed and said, I can hear, I can hear, I can hear. Oh, Maharaji, you are asleep. No, I'm hearing you. I'm just digesting it in my dream. You know, and that was not the appropriate listening position he had. And with the non-verbal communication was, let me rest, please. So these things you must... I will not give much stress on this in my seminar because there are these. You are intelligent, you know. Now I would like to say a word of caution. A word of caution. Be aware of the trap of self-delusion. If you believe that the people who have come to you because of you, you are self-deluded. No, they didn't come because of you. They came because they were responding to Krishna's call. Look for a devotee to help you on your spiritual path. You should see that if someone comes to you, he has been sent to you by the Lord. As a spiritual director, you must know it's not about you. You are most probably the most uninteresting person here in the discussion. Spiritual directors should not direct because of their ego needs for attention. They should know, I'm a servant of Krishna and I'm meant to guide this person for his benefit. It's very important. Sometimes people will say to you, you are the only one who can help me. Whereas you have felt already, I don't think I'm the right person. As a spiritual director, you must know where are your own limits. And when you see this case is too difficult for me, or this person is too far away from my range of thinking and my range of understanding, it is good that you direct them to another spiritual director. Don't bind them to you just because you need to have attention in your life. Spiritual direction is something very serious. And we heard this morning in the Bhagavatam classes that there is a serious consequence. You should not direct somebody, try to direct if you can't deliver them from birth or death, and death, Hare Krishna. I'm just saying, as a spiritual, don't worry now, as a spiritual director, the demands on you may not be so high because you are not actually acting as a diksha guru. You are giving advices on the path and so on. Know your own limitations and know when it is time for you to send people to other persons. I want to come back. A spiritual director should always be grateful that he or she has the opportunity to participate in a helping way in the spiritual journey of someone else by nourishing their faith. Our role should be that of a humble and grateful servant who has been given the unique chance to serve Krishna and his devotees. In this way, I would like you to know of a certain art. Have you ever as a child dreamt to become invisible? As a spiritual director, you must practice being an invisibilist. Invisibilist. That's a new English word. Everyone creates English language. I also do. You should know, my job as a mentor is to be a transparent medium. I am here to lead the people to Krishna. And in order to do that, I need to get out of the way so that people can experience Krishna, not me. Very important. This was my little word of caution. Now, my dear devotees, I would like to introduce you to the 5 points of spiritual counseling. This is most probably a very interesting part of this session. We will now go into a situation. Someone who seeks spiritual guidance comes to a mentor. No, comes to you as a mentor. You know, spiritual counseling is that art where you give advice and inspiration in such a way that the best is brought out of this person. Now, in order to do this, you can apply the following 5 steps which will help you to have a good spiritual exchange with the person who comes and seeks your advice. An exchange where Krishna can manifest his presence. Are you interested in this?
Yes.
Dobro. the first step. Become conscious that the person in front of you is an eternal spiritual soul on his or her spiritual journey. Everything that happens in that person's life before you is meant to help them progress. And you are there to help them see things from the spiritual perspective. Now, if there are obstacles, if there are hindrances, if there are walls with the which the person cannot climb, it's very good if you identify these obstacles and these unfulfilled needs and help the person to move forward. But you should always know every obstacle which is there, every situation which is there to ultimately help the person move forward. This confidence you should have, and this confidence you should emanate, because that will motivate people. Step two. Take on the observer role and do not become lost in the apparent or external story. In short, you always must look from a neutral position. You must stay neutral throughout the whole transaction, almost like an unmoved witness. And you must learn during this time one little art: to listen very well. In step two, you want to find out everything. You might even ask questions. You're not advising to really understand the situation, but from an observer position, because you will have to have a superior perspective than the person who is totally involved in his or her story. Step three. You will soon ask questions, I know. Pray for insight and permission to be able to inspire and help. Pray to become an instrument through which divine blessings can flow. My dear devotees, spiritual guidance and spiritual preaching, spiritual mentorship, is really a very delicate and a highly responsible art. It's sometimes, it determines lives. I have once been young, foolish, and angry. Maybe I'm still. But I was very, very eager to give my advice. After all, I had translated Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, and I thought I knew the Bhagavad Gita best of all the German-speaking devotees. So people sometimes came to seek my advice, and I remember one couple, very qualified couple, who had interpersonal difficulties in their relationship, and I gave them an advice. I had not listened very well. I had not tried to understand them very well. I had not entered into their perspective. And when I saw the quarrel, I went, it's obvious. The scriptures say partnership brings misery. Separate. And they did it, and they suffered severely. And at the end, after 10 years, they again came together. They're living now a very happy marriage, but they don't want to have anything to do with Krishna consciousness. very happy material marriage. You know, happy is maybe not the word. They are satisfied in their relationship. I had not prayed for insights. I had not looked from a neutral position. I had been in my brahmachari position. I didn't work from their perspective. I just shot out a few shoots from the hips. That's what they say in American English. It means without taking careful aim, if you shoot from the hip, then it often misses the goal. We don't want to do that in spiritual counseling. Fourth step, try to recognize the specific, not yet fulfilled needs of the other person. For that you have learned in our last session about the needs, the wheel of needs. Huh? Try to see the specific need. I had a few days ago on the summer camp a male devotee coming for spiritual advice, and I noticed he always complained about his wife, who is giving a lot of spiritual advices. And he said, my wife is so irresponsible, and she never cooks in the household spaghettis, and she is just never there when she's needed, and so on. And he went on and on, and I was thinking, what is his need now? And after listening for half an hour, I could understand he himself wanted to give spirit the direction. He himself was tired of just running after material affairs from morning till evening. He himself had a need of self-expression, because this is a very Brahminical devotee, very... and so on. And I said to him, it looks to me that there is a need in you to help people on the spiritual path, and I have just the right person for you. There is such and such person who has said he would just he needs to talk. I asked him how long. 2 hours, he said, and said, I'm sorry, I have too many appointments to make. But go to this person, he needs to talk, and he needs some spiritual perspective. And then I met this person yesterday, and I said, so how things are going for you? And he said, I spent 5 hours with that person, and I'm feeling great. You know, we found together what was the problem of this person, and we made together now a wonderful team where we will organize, I would say, such and such, so that you don't recognize the person. So I said to him, I think your problem is solved also. your need of self-expression has been found. So try to recognize the specific, not yet fulfilled needs of the other person. Here again, you need empathy. See and feel things from the other perspective. And step 5, encourage the person to understand the story behind the story. Srila Prabhupada wrote in his final days with us, everything and everyone moves under the sweet will of Krishna. This, to understand this, this consciousness is Krishna. Sorry. Krishna consciousness. Once you have helped a person to see Krishna's arrangements behind everything, Krishna's hand behind everything, Krishna's calling behind everything. You have connected the person with Krishna. And that is the real duty of a spiritual counselor. To summarize everything, the two most important elements in spiritual counseling are. I want to add something. If these steps are too complicated for you, I don't think they should be. You just need to hear them again or read them again. And if you want, I can send you a little newsletter, a training newsletter with has all these points listed. Peng, 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 peng. You will, when you are at home and when you use computer and so on. I would like to summarize this, however. The most important elements in spiritual counseling have to do with you. The first is strengthen yourself by good spiritual practices so that you can help from a platform of spiritual strengths and spiritual vision. And the second is check your motivation why you wish to help. Ideally, the mentor should act on the principles of Jiva Daya, compassion for others, and Vaishnava Seva, that is service to the devotees. When you have these two things, a good spiritual strength and vision, and the motivation to help and serve Vaishnavas, these two things will teach you everything. I'm thinking of the old saying, if you want to build a ship, don't drum together people and distribute tasks to them and issue orders. No, just teach them the longing for the immense vastness of the ocean. Then they will know how to build a ship. You know, they will get the skills which are necessary because they want to go to the ocean. So as a spiritual counselor, you should want serve Krishna with this, and you should help other people to want to connect with Krishna. If the branch of a tree which has been broken off the tree is again fixed to the tree, his flowers and fruits will automatically come forth. There will be a well-being on the branch. So if you can connect people with Krishna in a very nice way, then everything will come to you. Or to put it in my slogan, give your best and Krishna will do the rest. Hare Krishna. Finished! This time we are earlier. So good. Any questions which you have? Wow. Gauranga Sundar? No, I'm sorry. I'm in my own little world. I have to now be emphatic. Your name is not Gauranga Sundara. Your name is Govinda Nandan. Of course. Let us just see who else has a question. Oh, Maharaji. Chandamouli Maharaj has a question. We should ask him to pose his question first. Then Govindanandam, Philip, Kovalishaya Vishwakarma, have I forgotten anyone here? Our Prabhuji invite. And then Janavi. Good for now. Yes, Chandamouli Maharaj. You have already gone to other lokas and are addressing us from very exalted positions of spiritual achievement. Yes, please. Someone has to be with the sound. Yes, it's there. Good.
Thank you very much. Very edifying and very interesting presentation. A lot of very helpful points. And the category of trustworthiness.
Yeah.
I was thinking there's another essential principle that goes with that. And I was wondering if the principle was separate or part of that. And that is confidentiality.
Confidentiality.
Is that part of the trustworthiness principle, or is that a completely separate
understanding? I have understood your question. Have all others understood the question of our Maharaj? Although the sound is still there's still room for improvement on the sound. Yes, confidentiality is absolutely essential for being trustworthy as a mentor. If those who seek advice from you find out that next day their personal problem is with the exact name on the internet, in Facebook, and multiplied a million times, they will never ever come to you. Also, as here, I have given you a few examples. I have changed these examples. I've changed the locations and the time of the examples so that no one sees what is the situation. Because you have to be absolutely confidential. Otherwise, no one will come back to you. That belongs correctly into that is correct. That belongs into trustworthiness. Yes. Govindanandan. To be trustworthy, you need to keep confidential things confidential.
I have an issue regarding this particular role of your
presentation. Yeah, let me, because I work so much with sound. Philip, you have to take the bass a little bit out and the volume out and add the heights. You know, someone has played with a mixing board. Yes.
Role was the second thing, and you said that you should not be lost and destroyed, you should be observing neutral, and in this way you have a superior position. So my question is...
Maybe Moksha Rupi, you are our star... No, you please do, even Moksha Rupi, you are our unsung hero in... Please, you are expert. Yes.
So my question is, if we are in the observer role and are trying to be in a superior position in this way that we are not in the story, is it not that the mentorship also is a two-way road? That I, as a future mentor, I also have to learn something through this act of mentorship? Or is it just the person who is approaching has to get a good advice or help or this? So if I'm just in this observer role, maybe I will miss the lecture for myself. Or is it actually meant for me also that I can get a lecture in this relationship?
In mentoring or helping another person, you are of a secondary importance. It's not the person before you is in has a primary is of a prime. It's all about him. What I mean with saying not to get lost in another person's role is you can't story. You can't help a person if you get lost. I would like to give you a very very good example of this. Once a mother came with her 8-year-old daughter to Prabhupada in Vrindavan. This daughter had leukemia and was sure to die in 3 or 4 months. So both mother and daughter entered Prabhupada's darshan room and cried because of this. Harisori tells that as Prabhupada listened to the case from the mother, he did something which in the very beginning was almost shocking, but then turned out to be the only possible help. When the mother was finished lamenting, oh, she's so young, she's so talented, she's such a promising life before now, she has to die, and the daughter, and they were really crying because it is humanly very terrible. Prabhupada said, what is so special about this? Everyone here has to die. He was the only person they had as a shelter, the only person as a point of reference, or the last person, the ultimate person. And he makes such a statement. What's so special about this? Mother was going, have I heard properly? Is something, some vox, is too much vox in the ear? And Srila Prabhupada continued, this is the world of birth and death. Sooner or later, after a few short years, we all have to die. Your daughter is in Vrindavan, Krishna's holy land. Best place. As Prabhupada started to speak, more and more, the tears dried away, and after he ended, everyone was strong. He was not getting, but if he was, oh my God, a girl, a daughter, a girl is also dying. Oh no, you know, let me drink some water on this, you know, to be able to survive this terrible news, you know. The help would not have been given. If the doctor loses his calm and his perspective and gets lost in the story, he won't be able to know what is to be done. It's something like surgery, Govindanandan. Imagine you're walking through Africa and someone is, and your friend is bitten by a dangerous cobra. So you know from the lectures you have heard in our movement, because that was a subject, you have exactly 10 minutes before the poison gets to the heart to do what needs to be done. So you have to now not get lost in him. You say, okay, bind him on the stretcher. Give me the knife. Hold him. And then you go, and he goes, and you cut the wound out. That's how to save a life. This I say after having talked about empathy. Empathy is, in most cases, is also important. It's also a skill. But if the doctor gets lost in the story of the patient, he cannot help. But empathy is of equal importance. Now, please don't take only one part of this lecture. Bind your counselor on the bed, and then talk heavy to them. This is not the idea. I'm saying not to you. I know to the others. These are examples. No, you observe it, you understand the different things. Because how, when you get lost, can you see what he can't see? The specific unfulfilled need, for instance. Or the area where that person needs to improve. Sometimes the persons are more part of the problem than they think. They often point to others. If you also think the problem lies in others, say there is a woman who has divorced now 5 times and who comes to you and says, all men are devils, and gives you an elaborate account of what happened to her, and so on. Now, if you get lost in that, you might have to look. Okay, let us look now at the maturity of this person. Maybe she has something to do with her 5 divorces. You know. Hare Krishna. Yes, so I'm continuing. Philippe.
You gave example that when we try to keep the goal, we should not direct and give instructions, you should do this, you should do that, then we should...
I couldn't acoustically understand the first part. When we are trying to...
You give an example. Mm-hmm. We are trying to build the boat to cross the ocean.
Yeah, the boat, yes.
The boat, then you shouldn't give instructions, you should do this, you should do that, but we should more inspire others about how it's very nice to cross the ocean.
Yeah. Both in counseling people in their spiritual life, as well as in preaching, I have seen there is one important moment, that is when the person is motivated to take things in his or her own hands and becomes self-activated. I have sometimes noted that I have given advice to solve a situation in a certain way, and the person, and I meet the person the next day, and I said, I asked, how are you? Still at the same spot. I didn't make any advancement, I didn't solve this situation in any way. Then I think, has the person done what I said? And I asking it, and I find out he has tried to do what I said, but it just didn't work. Then a few days later, I see the person is very happy. And he has found out how to solve the situation. And it's the opposite what I have said. I told the person, maybe you should change your ashram and think of getting married. And the person... I had good reasons to say this. This is the last thing I say to someone, but sometimes it seems to be the only thing, you know. But the person is joyful and says, I now know I will qualify to get married. And you feel he has a glowing yes, he is convinced it's his life, and you just feel from the effulgence and the inspiration in the eyes and the light in the eyes, he's absolutely sure and he can do it. And then you know, somewhere he has gotten in motivation and in inspiration and has seen a large picture for his eyes and now knows how to apply the details. In my little story, when a person is absolutely convinced in reaching a certain goal and has a glowing yes for that goal, he or she will know how to reach the things. He or she will make anything possible to reach the goal. He might come riding to the Govardhan retreat on a donkey, you know, because he is convinced. From Croatia, from Dalmatia or Istria, there are donkeys. Because he has found a glowing yes now. And that's a spiritual... Mentors, we really have to help people to find their glowing yes, their enthusiasm, their high motivation for something. And it may be different than what you expected it to be. It's the longing for the vastness of the sea in my little story. That's also what I always tell the people who come to retreat. Don't become a retreat junkie, that you are dependent to come here and sit and then you chant good rounds. The real test is to do it in your real life. You know, that's why we, that's what we want to reach and attain. I hope I have answered the question. So. It's about the glowing yes, the motivation which you have to help people to find. Sometimes you have to help them to search for it because many have given up. They are called the half-dead people who walk amongst us. They have given up, they live a life of compromise, and they always are full of trouble, one trouble after another, because they don't live their own life. They don't live an authentic life, and so on. And therefore, they cannot really make their own realizations. Therefore, it is, Prabhupada said this very, very nicely, the primary duty of a leader is to inspire devotees I wish I could give you the right quotation, but my mind is at the moment not able to inspire them for selfless action. Prabhupada was talking about bureaucracy as not, we should not make too much bureaucracy whereby we tell people prescriptively what to do, but we should motivate them in actions for Krishna consciousness, self-motivated. That's the idea. Independent thought. We should do you know the quotation? There was something about independent thought. They should become independently thoughtful, not self-motivated. Yeah. Dobro. So, next devotee. Next person, please. Your good name, Prabhu?
Burnt.
Lawrence. Lawrence, I thought burnt. Lawrence, that's better. Yes.
I have a question. You're saying you need to learn to be transparent mediums and to get out of the way so people can experience Krishna and not the director. So how do we do this?
How do we do this? To get out of the way, you have to stop being with yourself and in your own world, but to be with the other person and in his world. And give them Krishna consciousness in that setting. When you give examples about your own life, it should only be there to help a person see something in their life. But don't get lost in talking about yourself or thinking about yourself. You really have to walk with the other person on his way to Krishna. How do you, are you a transparent, and oh yeah, and when you, sometimes one thinks slowly, when you talk, Lawrence, what a beautiful name, Lawrence of Arabia was there, when you talk, Lawrence, talk not your own knowledge, say what Krishna has said. Your opinion is not important. Krishna's opinion and Krishna's guidance is important. No? For that, spiritual mentors have to do their homework. They have to study Krishna's perspective and Krishna's answers to different situations. A transparent medium also gives credit to the spiritual master and to the scriptures, and lets Krishna shine through. He becomes something like a telescope. In a telescope, you find many lenses which... Sorry. Oh, yeah. Thank you. You are here. I will read that quote in a second. Yes. See, telescope. So this is the eye. The telescope, by the lenses which are there, transparent lenses, can bring a far distant object, a star, like Mars or whatever. And one can now inspect him. He is close. So the members of the parampara are like lenses, transparent mediums. There's Narada Muni, there's so many, and then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, then Srila Prabhupada, and they all talk the same message, the same perspective, the same knowledge, the same realization. They don't talk their own knowledge. They repeat. And in this way, and you should become one of these lenses to Srila Prabhupada, so that you will also connect people with that huge amount of lenses which ultimately go back to Krishna. You say the same thing. In material life, this is the worstest you can do. With us is Krishna Chaitraprabhu, wonderful Vaishnav and accomplished academic. He knows when you say something and it's from someone else, my God, this is called plagiarism. And in academic things, this is the worst thing. In our line, it's called parampara. It's good. I learned this from Ravindra Swarup Prabhu, this quote, this thing. So here's the quote. Oops, I'm sorry, I touched it, and now something is... Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, there's something came which should not be there. Here, this came. Thank you. The quotation which we looked for, we were talking about how important it is that devotees do find their authentic yes or their individual striving. And Prabhupada, he wrote this beautiful letter. It's so nice, at least for people like us. For others, it may not be so nice. But the Krishna consciousness movement is for training men to be independently thoughtful and competent in all types of departments of knowledge and action, not for making bureaucracy. Once there is bureaucracy, the whole thing will be spoiled. And now, what should be there? There must be always individual striving and work and responsibility. Competitive spirit, not that one shall dominate and distribute benefits to the others, and they do nothing but beg from you and you provide. No! Our men shall develop reliability and responsibility. I am little observing now, especially in your country, it's America, that our men are losing their enthusiasm for spreading our programs of Krishna consciousness movement. Otherwise, why so many letters of problems are coming dissatisfied? That is not a very good sign. the whole problem is, and so on. Now Prabhupada will look where the weakness is, and that is in weak spiritual practices. But his whole idea is, and his ideal of his devotees is, there should be individual striving and self-reliance, means work and responsibility. Thank you, Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu. It's a letter from Karanda Prabhu. It is, here it says 72:12. What does it? It's December 1972, a letter to Karandan, if you want to find. Thank you very much. Dobro. Lawrence, yes, Lawrence is now Janavi. This will be the last question and then we will end.
I'm just wondering, with regards to accessibility, how can we remain really accessible but also be aware of our own limitations and
stuff, yeah.
How many people we can accommodate, helping with equality?
Janavi, I will answer this question in detail tomorrow when I talk about the Tree of Life. The Tree of Life concept is a concept, how can you contribute and at the same time nourish yourself. Your contribution are like the branches of a tree where the apples and flowers for the benefit of others grow. This is only possible if to maintain for a long time, if you have roots through which you are nourished, and you must find a balance between your own nourishment and your contribution. If you contribute too much, you will be burned out and your contributions will not really benefit others. They will be shrunken apples and flowers who don't even smell good. So the balance between nourishing yourself in your spiritual life, and that's an activity which mostly no one sees. You're doing your sadhana and your practice not as a public show, but you do it for yourself, will guarantee, this practice will guarantee that you remain inspired and can contribute to the life and welfare of others. Now, how to do this is a subject matter of tomorrow. You have somehow, I think, intuitively sniffed the content of tomorrow's presentation. I want to end here because we have gone a little into Arctic time. And thank you very, very much for your kindness and hearing. Wishing you all the best. Hare Krishna.